it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
Somebody just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it. Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong, I'm wise, I am better, so much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, 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 Lord. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it. Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh, oh, oh.
Some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some lonely nights. But when I look around, and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Can I say that one more time? I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. Some sleepless nights. But when I look around, yeah, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been so good to me. Has he been good? He's been good to me. More than this whole world you could ever be. He's been so good to me. You know what he did? He dried all of my tears away. Turn my midnight in today. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due, don't know where the money coming from, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't. Yeah. I won't complain. God, 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 God has been so good to me. He's been good to me. More than this whole world you could ever be. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. So good. So good. So good. So good. Tell me. Yeah. It dries all of my tears away. He ever stop you from crying? Turn my midnight in today. So I just say, thank you, Lord.
Live. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, the elder, the minister, Harold Eastland, whatever you choose to call. It's all fine and good with me. So thank you for those that will be tuning in to Facebook and those that will be on the Matrix Studio. Greatly appreciate it. Once again, I don't take it lightly to be able to stand or, in this case, sit before you and to break bread with you and, you know, share the word of God. So, it's not that we got a late start, we just started late. It's not that, if that makes any sense, there was no delay of anything. You know, we just was getting some things in order. So once again, welcome. Once again, I'm in the book of Samuel. So I'm going to stay in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And some things that I may touch on them again as from last week. Or I may just keep moving on, but either way, I'm going to be in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. All right, so one of the things I wanted to do was There was something that was pressing on my heart that I should have shared 2 weeks ago, but I wasn't able to share it in the book of Samuel. So I just want to just touch on it for a second, and then we'll get going to wherever we got to go to. But once again, welcome and welcome to the show. So here we go. This is something I wanted to touch on, I think about 2 weeks ago, but I'll touch on it right now. There is a scripture. Let's go right fast to 1 Samuel. Let's go to 10 and 12. And some of you will be able to identify with this, and some of you won't be able to identify with it. But here we go. 10 and 27, and the word reads, "But the children of Bel say, how should this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." What they're talking about in this particular scripture is Saul is about to become king. He was selected. He was chosen. He was the choice of God based on the cries of the people. Even though it wasn't something that he wanted to do, to relinquish his people over to a king. But that's one of the things. If I had to give this show a title today, it would be called "Be Careful What You Wish For, Because You Just Might Get It." So here it is. He was the selection. He was the selection of God based on the cry of the people. He was the best qualified at this particular time. He was the one that was chosen by God to be a blessing. He was the one that was chosen. Here's an issue that I have with people. Remember, he had to put himself in a position to receive the anointing from God. He had to put himself in position. So, but the people was like, well, who is this guy? Why is he doing it? He can't get it done. Who said he should be king? And I want you to be able to identify, you know, if you've ever had this issue, if you came across it, you see someone in a position of authority or a position of being in charge or a new position, whatever, and that they are now the decision maker. And you may not be happy that they are now the decision maker. But why are you not happy? Obviously, this person, whether it's a he or she, have put themselves in position that they may be the selection for the new position. If you feel you could do a better job, then you should have put yourself in a position that when they decided to call on somebody for the position, that your name would have been in the hat. If you did not put your name in the hat because you did not put yourself in position to meet whatever the criteria was or is for this particular service, don't be mad at the man or woman that has it, because clearly they did some things to put themselves in position. If you feel you can do the job better, then put yourself in position. In the meantime, don't hate on the individual. Hate on yourself for not being in position to get the position that you can make change. I had to get that off my chest. It was something that I had read a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to illuminate it in your spirit. In other words, don't be mad at the person because they got the position, whether they fail or succeed, because you don't like them. That's your issue. Maybe he or she can't do the job. But clearly you can't do the job neither, because they didn't call on you, because you didn't make yourself or put yourself in a position to be called on. So then don't get mad at them, get mad at you. So that's what I wanted to get over, or, you know, just wanted to put that in your spirit, because sometimes we have a tendency to judge people based on their availability of being in a position to get the position. And if some of us are not in a position, we want to cast stones and throw aspersions. No, either support the person or get out of the person's way. But don't make it where you're hindering the position. All right, so let's move on from that. Let's go to 11 and 13. Let's go to 11 and 12. "And the people said unto Saul, who is... And the people said unto Samuel, who is he who says, should Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. That spirit has not escaped anyone. That spirit is very prevalent, that they want to persecute the people that anointed you to be in a position. They want to hold them accountable for how God selected you in some things. And I want to say, watch the response of Saul. This is a response that, you know, that some of us have to keep. Being silent or holding your peace, it doesn't mean you're weak. It's not a character flaw because you choose to remain silent. Sometimes you just got to be silent for a minute. Watch his response. Let's read 13 again. And Saul said, "This should." And he said, "Let's go back to 12." And the people said unto Samuel, "Who is he who say, should Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death." It wasn't the men that selected him. It was God that selected him. And it was God that selected him based on your continuous cries for someone to reign over you. We're going to get into that. This, once again, if I had to give this broadcast or this particular pericope a title, it would be called, "Be Careful What You Ask For, Because You Just May Get It." Watch his response. And Saul said, "This should not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord has wrought salvation in Israel." It was the selection of God. You got an argument, there was a play back in the 70s, "Your arms are too short to box with God." If you have a problem with the selection, take that up with the Most High. Don't take it up with me. Either support me or get out my way. Don't take up my favor from God with me. That is an issue you have to take up with the Most High. You cannot have an issue with me and the favor that has been bestowed on me. Not with me, because I didn't give it to me. And man didn't give it to me. It wasn't a selection from man. The favor that's in my life is the favor of God. If you have a problem with me in favor, then take it up with the Most High. But this I like. I want you to pay attention to this. You know, I was last night, for the first time in my life, well, I won't say the first time. I've said it before, but it was so pronounced last night. I was reading and then I was driving. And I'm reading. I wasn't reading while I was driving. Let's get that clear. I was reading something and then later on I was driving. And the Spirit came upon me to make me realize what a burden this office that I sit in. This burden, there's a burden of being a minister of God. There is an absolute burden. Don't get me wrong. There is also a love. There's nothing else on the planet that I would rather do than break bread with you and bring forth the word of God. Let's understand that first and foremost. But there is a burden. And the burden is this. Because when, you know, I believe I'm at a point where God begins to feed me stuff now. He'll show me exactly what he wants to be said and how he wants. And not only that, sometimes I get to see the pain of God. I get to experience the pain of God. And one of the reasons how you experience the pain of God, in this book right here, Samuel has illuminated it to me, because you get to see how the people just won't listen, how they make it hard for themselves. Because it is the intentions of God to let the promise of God be on your life. But the people make it hard for themselves and always either have to do it over or have it taken away from them because they failed in it or they chose to do something. That's the burden, to witness the pain. That's the burden, man. To see the pain of God and to feel the pain of God, because the people just won't listen. And this book has illuminated it for me. If we only listened, watch, we're going to get into that. I got a few minutes, you know, we're just trying to lay the foundation down right now. We're in 11 and 14. Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." Remember, there was a reproach against Gilgal. There was no favor for the people. But now God has anointed a king, and one of the first things that he says, that Samuel says, let's go back to Gilgal and renew the kingdom. This is part of the pain of the burden. You have to be able to see all the stuff that you left behind, that you are able to go back and to retrieve it and renew your kingdom. Your kingdom is everything in your body, in your life that you wanted to come to fruition. There's no more reproach against you. There's no more chastisement against you. It's time for you to renew the kingdom. And this is the problem that we have that is a burden, because the people never believe that they can return back to glory or recapture the things that they once lost. You got to know that when you read the scriptures, you have to be able to identify yourself in the scriptures, that it makes sense, that you have a blueprint to how to repair and prepare your life. Let me say that again. When you read the scriptures, you have to be able to identify yourself in the scripture, that you can have a blueprint to prepare or repair your life. This is the purpose of the scriptures, to prepare and to repair. That's one of the purposes. And you got to know, when he's sending them back to restore the kingdom, you got to be able to restore your kingdom, because you are a people of promise. So when he says, and look, it was a sense of urgency. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. You got to renew your kingdom. Whatever has fallen apart in your life, whatever was destroyed, whoever misused you and abused you and left you for dead, whoever took you for granted, whoever made a promise to you and broke the promise, whoever said you wasn't good enough, whoever doubted your abilities, whoever did not support you, now it's time to go back and restore the kingdom. You are your personal kingdom. Listen here, one of the things that I'm a firm believer, God doesn't have me sit up here, remember this, there's no reward for me. The reward for me is bringing the word. That's my reward. That's my only reward. But the reward for you is to be able to listen to the scriptures and identify whatever part is in your life and make the correction. That's your reward. You gotta believe when the people and the men and women of God stand before you with a proclamation from God the Most High to go follow it. All right, now let's get into some serious business here. In chapter 12, I'm not going to read it a whole thing because it's a litany of things. One of the things that's taking place is Samuel is finally about to retire from ministry, and he's a little perturbed or annoyed because, you know, he believed in God being the king. But the people wanted the king so bad, they wanted to be like everybody else. So now, remember, in the beginning, he gave them a litany of how the king was going to be and what type of king he was going to be. But they refused to listen. It's the same with some of you. They tell you everything that's going to take place, everything that's going to be against you, everything they're going to take from you, everything they're going to charge you. They're going to charge you enormous rates. They're going to make sure if you don't pay right away, they're going to cut you off. They're going to come. They tell you all this stuff in advance. But you only see what you want to see. And you see the one thing that's favorable to you. There's 15 things that's not in your favor, but you discount them because you see the one thing that's in your favor. And here's what happened. He said to them, he didn't give them a litany again. He said to them what he did and what he didn't do. And then he said to them, now, I listened to what you said. Now, here's your king. And look at the response, what they say to him, what my man Samuel. Let's go to 19 for a second. Verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for the servant unto the Lord your God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil task, asking us a king. Now you want to be a genius after the fact. That annoys me. Everybody always wants to be a genius after the fact. If I told you from the beginning, give me a second. I'm trying to find something. I want to find what he told you from the beginning. You knew the king was unjust from the beginning because he told you that he was no good. He told you he was going to take your wives and take your sons and take your daughters and put them in the field and have you work their land and take your grapes and take your vine. He told you all of this from the beginning. He told you that the person that you was going to choose was going to be unjust and corrupt, but you wanted to be like everybody else. And now when you see this thing is going to happen, now you want forgiveness and now you want a reprieve. You stop, be careful what you ask for. And if you're going to ask for something, know all the avenues of what you ask for. Do not be a genius after the fact. Be a genius while you're in the fight. Nobody want to hear, oh, if I had moved to the left before, or moved to the right, or ducked, or bobbed, or weave, or whatever. You got to know this in the fight. You got to know what you're getting involved with. You got to know the pros and the cons. You have to know what's to your benefit and what's to your detriment. And then you have to make a reasonable and rational decision. Does this weigh out in my life? And if it doesn't weigh out, leave it alone. I got a position that I have a job. And the cons outweigh the pros. So it's no good for me. So now it's time to leave. Because it's no good for me. You can't just see what you want. So what? It's a check. It's a check that I got to depend on. I'm not even dependent on my own abilities. Because they don't use my abilities. God gave us immense talent. So every day I put myself in a position that what I'm asking for, that God, when the time comes, I'm ready. I'm not getting ready. I'm ready. I put myself every day in the position to do the only thing I want to do. And when the time comes, I don't have to get ready. I'm ready. And when the time comes, I've already been prepared. So the thing that I'm asking for, I've already received it because I've been in preparation for it. It's just a matter of God saying, here it is now. It's not a matter of just praying and wishing upon a star. I told you that before. It's not taking a penny and throwing it in the pond. You got to do something. You have to do the thing that you want to take place. You have to already be operating in the position. Don't ask, can you go to the store and you still sleeping in the bed? Don't ask for something to eat and you won't go make a dime. If you want something to eat, you got to bring some money to the table. It's not magically going to appear on your table. So whatever it is that you are asking God for, you have to already be working in the thing that you're asking for. So when it comes the way you want it to come, you're ready. And you don't have to get ready. It's a difference between being ready and getting ready. You're ready? Come on, let's go. You're getting ready? We'll see you when we get back. It happened to you before. They told you to be ready at 8, and you, and 8 o'clock came. You wasn't ready, and it didn't look nowhere like you was going to be ready by 8:30, and they left you. And you blaming them because they left you. Instead of blaming yourself that you was not prepared, they told you in advance what time we was coming, what time we was going to leave. But poor preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine. You know, one of the things that I'm learning is not always that there's a division among the people. Sometimes I learned this last night. And I had a conversation, I'm deviating for a second, but bear with me. It's always relevant. So I'm at work, the job that I do absolutely nothing on. So me and a brother, we have good conversation all the time. And he said, Mr. Eastland, they needed some water in that unit. I said, well, brother, why didn't you come and get the water? His response to me, make sure you don't have this response. And this is what I like about God and Samuel, how Samuel reminded the people over and over. Sometimes you got to remind people because they forget. And it's not that you're trying to throw something in their face, but they need to remember what you've done for them, or they need to remember their position in life, and they need to remember what they're selected to do. Sometimes you got to remind people because they want to get selective amnesia and forget. So here was an issue. There was a unit that needed some water. I said, well, brother, there's 5 gallon water right there. Take it. He said, no, it's not my job. I said, it don't have to be your job. You see that there is a need for water. Addressing the need, whether it's your job or not, it's a need that must be addressed. I said, brother, the difference between me and you is if I see the need, I'm going to address it. You see the need, you're going to weigh it out if it's part of your duty. It don't got to be a part of your duty because you're going to benefit from the water. And now you're going to minimize the crisis that you're going to have in that unit, because when them young people be like, ain't no water, it gives them a reason to turn up. So you're not being smart right now. You got to learn to minimize problems. If you see them beforehand, address it. So after I finished letting him know, he says to me, Mr. Eastland, let's get that water. I say, absolutely, brother. Let's get that water. Sometimes you got to remind people because they forget. And it's not that you're trying to punish them. It's just sometimes they need a little, whether it's a gentle reminder or an abrasive reminder. The purpose is to remind the people so they can fall back in line. And this is what this book, Samuel, does. He reminds the people over and over again. He reminded them just now, I didn't rob you. I didn't take no bribes from you. I didn't sleep with your wives. I didn't kill your sons. I didn't take anything from you. And they all testified that he didn't. He said, now, I did what you asked me to do. Here's your king. Be careful what you ask for. There's one thing to ask for something that you're not ready for. That's one thing. There's another thing to ask for something that you don't even need, that's going to cause you pain. There's a difference. One, asking for something that you're not ready for, you may not get it because you're not ready for it, but you can prepare for it and later on and get it. Asking for something as a replacement that you don't need, you're asking for trouble. I want to move on. There's some stuff that I really wanted to get into here. Okay, let's go to, I like this, watch this. Let's go to 13 and 2. I want you to pay attention to this. Watch this. And Saul chose him. Let's go to 13 and 1. Saul reigns 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and Mount Bethel, and the other 1,000 were with Jonathan. Jonathan is his son in Gibeah of the Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Watch this. And this is his son. They're at war. And Jonathan smote the garrisons of the Philistines that was at Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it. Watch this. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. This is a form of encouragement. Hold on one second. battery is dying already. I don't know how much longer. So anyway, what? I don't know if you heard me. Read it again. So what happened is Saul said, and Saul blew the trumpets throughout the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. This is encouragement. Sometimes your success will benefit others. You have to make them aware. You have to encourage them. They just smoked the people that was oppressing them. Now we're seeing things turn over. Let's give the people some encouragement that they'll be willing to stand. It's important to be able to stand. It's important. So I give Saul credit because he knew, let me encourage the people. All your successes, all your victories, all your wins, all your rewards, all your profitability, share it with the people how you've had success in an area that they may be inspired to do the same thing. It's important that you share your achievements. It's important. It's not for you. I know you benefit from it, but let the people benefit just from watching you. I don't know. This thing is, just give me a second. Watch this. Let's go down to 5. Verse 5, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and the multitude. And they came upon and pitched in Michmash for eastward from Behevin. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did themselves. When the men of Israel saw that they were in strait, the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and in high places and in the pits. Stop being a punk. I told you, whatever the need is, you're going to have to address the need. Stop running because somebody says something about you. Stop running because people come against you. Stop trying to make excuses. Well, I just don't want no problems. Well, you're getting a problem whether you want it or not. You have to address it. Address it don't mean beating somebody up. That's not what we advocate. We advocate stand up for the things and the principles you believe. You got to know the gift and talent that God gave you. Stop letting other people benefit off of you, and you don't benefit. Know your value. Know your worth. Know what has been given to you. The promise of God will not fall in your life if you run from every problem because somebody said something bad to you, or someone didn't agree with you, or someone talked ill about you, or someone didn't give you the promotion. Stop running. You have to be able to stand and address the issue sometime. There's a lady, now watch this. You tell me what, this is absolutely cowardness, chumpness. There's a woman that I was supervising. I wasn't even her direct supervisor. I told her she was on probation. I said, you've been here 5 months and you've been out 5 times. You've been out longer, more than me. I've been here 2 years. So she says, I'm resigning because he was rude to me. Instead of saying, you're right, let me address the issue, I was out of order, I need to fix that, I need to develop more in my time and attendance so when I move on somewhere else, I won't bring this same character flaw because I may be in a place that I really want to be and I bring this defect with me and it's going to affect me in my upward mobility in whatever company or agency I go. Instead of saying, let me fix what's wrong with me, I want to point the finger at you of being rude. Being rude because I told you what you needed not to do. That means she has an ability to run. Anytime something gets tough, they run. Anytime something gets uncomfortable, she runs. Anytime she doesn't like something, she runs. Anytime she doesn't agree with something, she makes the excuse. You're going to miss out, and you are always going to find yourself starting over. This is what I mean. It's the burden for people like me. Listen to what we're telling you. Stop starting over and over and over and over all the time. It can't be everybody else. Some of it has to be you. Some of it has to be you. Because there was no need for her to run. The thing that was required was to address the time and attendance issue. That's what was required. Not to leave and make and say I'm leaving because he was rude. You got to pay attention. Come on, let's move on. So my point is, don't listen. They're going to always come against you. I told you months ago, one of the things that Jesus did, that they came against him. People in his camp left him. Disciples left him. Disciples started to question him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to kill him and persecute him. He had so many obstacles and people against him. But look, I told you before, had he folded up the suitcase and went packing back to South Africa and say, forget this ministry, you have literally hundreds of millions of Christians that are Christians today based on the principles and the work that Christ did. I understand the resurrection and the salvation. I got that. But you got to look at the teachings that he did. The teachings. You got to be able to identify yourself and your behaviors and your character in the scriptures. That's important. You got to know who your leaders are. They picked this guy Saul. Saul was corrupt from the beginning. He was corrupt from the beginning. Stop choosing leaders. And the people ran. Watch the people. Watch this. 7. Some of the Hebrews went over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgad, and all the people followed him trembling. They were scared to death. You got to know who's on your team. You got to know their strengths and their weaknesses. You have to know their abilities and the things that they struggle in. And you have to put them in position to succeed. You have to strengthen the things that's strong and strengthening the things that are weak. If I work with you and you're not a good writer, then why would I leave you to do all the writing? I'm setting you up for failure. If I'm working with you and you're a good motivator, then I'm going to put you where the motivation needs to be, but I'm going to also give you small tasks where you can work on your writing skills. You got to put people where they're stronger and develop their areas of development. Stop setting people up for failure. These people wasn't people of war. They were scared to death. They was walking behind trembling. Stop sending people to fight these wars that are afraid. I don't know how much more this battery is going to last. I'm going to get to something before it shuts off completely. I don't have much life on this battery, so let me go to a thing I want to go to. Let's go to let's go to this. Watch this. This is important. I'm at 8 and 13. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgag, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came past that as soon as he made the end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went to meet him that he may salute him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you didn't come not within the days appointed. And the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash. Therefore, I say, I say the Philistines will come down upon us to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication. I want to show you something. In verse 8 in chapter 10, it says, this is Samuel talking to Saul. He said, and you should go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices, sacrifices of peace. 7 days should you tarry till I come to you and show you what to do. You got to follow the instructions to the T. He forfeited his anointing the minute that he went to do these burnt offerings. My father used to tell me when I was a kid, he would give me a task. And if I screwed it up, he would say to me, what did you do? And I would say, I thought. He would tell me, who told you to think? I told you to do. If I want your opinion, I would give it to you. Samuel gave him in specific instructions to do X, Y, and Z. When you give specific instruction, follow the instructions to the T, because what you do, you set it back further than it was supposed to be set. He told him, I'm going to come down and make offerings, sacrifices, and show you what needs to be done. Here's the problem with newly appointed people. When you get the position, you got the anointing, you got the position, but you're new to the position. So follow the instructions. Just because you see how the order of events goes, how he sacrifices and what he does, and it looks easy to you, it looks easy because the man or the woman that's performing it has been performing it for a long time. So it's easy to them. It's not easy to you because you just got in the position. Just because you hold the office don't mean you know everything, and doesn't mean that you don't need to learn some things that will strengthen the position. Mind your business. Follow the scripture till the T. He forfeit his kingdom because he did something he wasn't supposed to do. You forfeit the manifestations of promise in your life when you do opposite what God tells you to do. You forfeit it. But Saul was not a just king anyway. Watch this. Let's go to 19. Now there was no smith found throughout the land of Israel, for the Philistines say, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. Your enemy is not your friend. You need to identify who and what is your enemy. Your enemy is put in place for multiple reasons. One of the reasons is to give you hell and to prevent you from making your promise. That's one. You need to recognize that. And one of the other purposes that your enemies serve is to make you uncomfortable in places where God doesn't want you, that you would move out. But there was no locks, no blacksmith in the area, because they did not want the Israelites to make weapons. But watch this. This is a selfish leader. Stop ill-equipping me. I'll give you an example. You know, there's this term, you know, don't ill-equip people. Watch this. I don't know if this thing is going to stay on much longer. Watch this. I'm going to go to 22. And so it came to pass in the day of battle that there were neither sword nor spear found in the hands of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. Here's the problem. You want me to go to war. You want me to go to battle. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example right now. Stop making do. That is a mindset of people. And a lot of people, they just want to make do. They just want to get by. Only just enough. So they'll rig anything to make it work. I rigged it. It works. But it's not proficient and it's not efficient. It's rigged. It's not going to work. You got to make sure people are well prepared. You got to give them what they need. If you want them to succeed, then prepare them correctly. You want to ill-prepare people, and then you want to have a positive outcome. That's a fallacy. If you want to have a good outcome, then prepare me. Don't give me something that's rigged and then tell me to make do. As a woman that was near and dear to my heart, one of the things that she taught me was she always has plenty of everything. Plenty. She never operates in, I just got enough, or this. There has to be an abundance of something of good in your life. Stop just scraping and scrounging, trying to get by, and then you pass. Listen, when you can rig something and make it work, that means you got a good mind. You're able, you're very creative. You have to take it to the next stage. All these people, Saul and his son, they had swords. The people that was fighting, they had butter knives and can openers and spatulas and pitchforks, and you want them to go to war. Stop ill-equipping the people. Stop trying to rig everything. Right now, I'm sitting up in here, and I got something rigged. It should be better than what it is, but right now, we're getting through. Get out of that mindset. Stop always, we just got by. That's a mindset. It's dangerous because you pass it down. Oh, we rigged it. No, don't rig it. Give me the abundance of what I'm supposed to have. Don't just let me just get by. Listen, I got to wrap it up. I get a little excited sometime. I can't even go through the litany of, I just want to say this, remember. Don't rig it. Be careful what you ask for. Don't ill-prepare people. And renew your kingdom. Your kingdom is your life, your household, whatever it may be that was once taken away. It's time for you to renew it. Father God, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that your word was able to fall on good ground. I pray that your people are blessed somewhere. I pray that it has been a life-changing word. We ask you this in the name of Jesus. And all the people said amen.